The holiday season is on its way, and for a lot of us, the holidays revolve around frantic trips to the mall. We eat too much, we spend too much money, and in the end, we wind up with too much stuff we don't really want. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, Reclaiming Your Holidays, a new initiative from the University of Northern Iowa's Center for Energy and Environmental Education is focused on helping Iowans create more meaningful and environmentally friendly holidays. Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates will be here to give us some ideas for how we can make gift-giving simpler and more special, how we can simplify our holidays, have more fun, and how we can reduce waste and go easy on the environment as well. We'd also like to hear from you. What are your favorite holiday traditions? Have you made some changes that have made your holidays more meaningful? Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. You hear a lot of complaints around the holiday season. Maybe you are a complainer yourself. The holidays are stressful. We spend too much money. We eat too much. And in the end, they don't seem as special as they did when we were kids. A new initiative from the University of Northern Iowa's Center for Energy and Environmental Education is focused on helping Iowans create more meaningful and environmentally friendly holidays. It's called Reclaim Your Holidays. Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates are with the Center for Energy and Environmental Education, and they've been talking to a lot of Iowans about ways that they can make their holidays more meaningful. We would love to have you join our conversation today. What are your favorite holiday traditions? How have you made your holidays more meaningful in your family? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Charity.
And Carol, thank you for being here today.
Good to talk again, Charity.
And Susan, let's start with you. When you conceived of the idea for this project, for Reclaim Your Holidays, what was your goal?
Oh, to help people have, Iowans particularly, to have more meaningful holidays. Just as you said in the intro, it's so easy to get away from that. And we're hoping that if people focus on meaningful holidays, they will get away from the busyness and the buying, which can be detrimental to the environment.
So, and this is a project of the Center for Energy and Environmental Education. So when you put it that way, it sounds like the environmental impact of the holidays is a secondary consideration. How does the environmental part of this work into your project?
Oh, well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is a Christmas holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, how many gifts often are at the bottom of the Christmas tree, and how kids tear into them, and then they go to the next gift, and they don't find a lot of gratitude with the Christmas gifts. And each one of those Christmas gifts is a natural, or it took natural resources to create. And so there's a great connection between focusing on meaning and not just giving meaningless gifts or gizmo gifts. So
if you have a more meaningful holiday, then the environmental impact will follow.
Yes, that's what we're hoping. I mean, we know that that can happen, but so we want to focus on that meaning.
How have you set about gathering stories from Iowans and information to help other Iowans make their holidays more meaningful?
Well, we have a website, which is www.reclaimyourholidays.org. And we have had focus groups and brainstorming sessions. And now we have a Facebook page. We also have a Twitter page.
And I had the opportunity to participate in one of those focus group sessions. So I need to mention that right off. But tell me what parts of the holiday you've focused on. How have you broken it down?
We have parts of our website about gift giving, and there's numerous articles about that, like buying experiential gifts that are more environmentally friendly. And we have articles on green entertaining. And one of them, soon to come up on the web, is an all-Iowa meal, which I think will be very exciting, with recipes and everything. Oh, Carol, help me out.
Okay, Susan. We also have information on green decorating, how you can use natural decorations rather than something that was purchased. And we have ideas on gift-giving, gifts of experience that could satisfy friends and family rather than, as Susan mentioned, the gizmo gifts that might be easy to buy, but maybe put a little bit more thought into what kind of gifts you would like to give for whatever the holiday is.
Well, let's start talking about some of those different categories. And Susan, what ideas have people shared with you about making their gift-giving more meaningful?
Well, one thing that I forgot to mention just a few minutes ago was self-care is also talked about. And I think that's maybe fundamental to making the holiday more meaningful is self-care type of things and reducing stress. So asking your family what's important to them and also asking yourself what's important and communicating that so that you all know each other's expectations. And I think that going along with that, as we talked before the show started, setting realistic expectations. If you have the hope that your kid's going to love every gift that you put under the tree, I would question whether that's a realistic expectation.
Well, you know, it is funny. I think about an experience that I had just last Christmas. I really wanted to do something special. I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old then. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old now. But I wanted to give them something that would be very meaningful to them and something that came from me. And so I made them, when I was a little girl, I had superhero outfits, you know, and so I made them each a cape that was blue on one side, red on the other side. They're satin capes. And I spent a lot of time on that, and I was really excited about it. And they opened the packages, and they just didn't care at all. But now they play with them all the time. So in the end, I think it will be a gift that they will remember having and playing with as kids. But certainly that moment under the tree was nothing special. For anybody. So that, you know, I do think we build up our expectations, and parents and adults are just as bad about that as kids are. We build up our expectations for having this kind of magical holiday. What do you recommend to people for getting those expectations in line with reality?
Well, I would first like to say that I think kids aren't disappointed at the holiday. That once I read that anticipation is what's so exciting about the holiday. So the kids' level of anticipation before the holiday is really what's fun and the focus. And so the actual gifts under the tree are less important than the anticipation. So I would say that would first of all be the case.
When you talk about self-care and getting those expectations in line, do you have some tips for what we can do before we get caught up in all of the excitement and all of the busyness around the holidays to really focus ourselves and take care of ourselves?
Yeah. I think setting aside time to be alone, knowing that you'll need that before the holidays and during the holidays, that total togetherness isn't always magic. I also think that tampering with tradition is important. If you have a tradition of decorating the entire house, but no one else in the family is interested in that, and you get exhausted doing that, then why continue that tradition? And Carol, jump in anytime.
I think another thing, as we mentioned earlier, is talking to your family about what's important to them and ahead of time making a plan for whatever holiday it is that you're looking at. And And then you've got some steps to take to carry out that plan. And we hope that that will make everyone a little bit happier if there's been some conversation about it ahead of time. Another recommendation we have is to consider keeping it simple. You don't have to do everything, as Susan mentioned, and there are certain parts of a holiday that people may love, the whole family may love, but perhaps it's time to reevaluate a little bit and do the things that people enjoy doing rather than what the expectations of others might be, to talk with your family about what values you have.
You mentioned that total togetherness isn't always a recipe for magic, and often it's a recipe for disaster. How do you approach that with your family, though? Because especially when people are traveling from out of town, as recently as last Christmas, I was living in Michigan, and we would travel back, and it was all of us in one house, kind of on top of each other, and as more of us have kids, we're even more on top of each other. How would you broach the subject of, okay, we need to have time on our own?
I'll talk about what my family has done over the years. We've been through what you're talking about, but we're just maybe a generation older, so we've learned. And something we started doing was having many of our holidays at cabins. In Iowa, we have Backbone State Park has beautiful cabins with no TV, and it's just wonderful because people can get outside, and that's where our focus is, and our family loves those outdoor activities. So you can easily walk away and be alone, or just even be outside and get fresh air with one or two family members instead of 20 people or 30 people crammed into a home. I think something else that has helped our family is when we are together in the evening is to have an organized, structured game. We have played this game called Mafia, and all 18 of us sit around in the living room of this cabin and play this game together. And it's a way to have us together, but not have multiple conversations going at the same time. And another thing that is a benefit about the cabins is that we're on neutral territory, so everybody brings some portion of some meals, and it's often frozen. It's often much simpler, so we don't have a big turkey dinner, and that's not, we've canned that tradition, I guess, when we're together, and that's great.
And nobody's house gets completely trashed.
No.
Well, we will talk more about reclaiming your holidays in a moment. Rhonda and Julie are both on the line with stories to share, and we'll get to those just as soon as we get back from a break. My guests right now are Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates. They're with the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. We're talking about their project, Reclaim Your Holidays, and you can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we are talking about reclaiming your holidays. My guests are Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates. They're with the Center for Energy and Environmental Education, and they're working on this project, Reclaim Your Holidays, with the focus of helping Iowans make their holidays more meaningful and more environmentally friendly. And we'd love to hear your stories about holiday traditions that you love or things that you've changed about your holidays to help make them more meaningful, less stressful, and maybe even more environmentally friendly. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Rhonda is on the line from Coralville. Hello, Rhonda.
Good morning, ladies.
Hi. What does your family do?
Well, I just wanted to share with you, I love this topic. Several years ago, in order to kind of escape the materialism and the stress of the holidays, my family, we started drawing names, and each person would draw a name, and we would make a very personal, and we would actually make a gift for the other one. And then at Christmas, when it was open, talk about the reason why we made that gift for that individual. So, for example, for my dad, I made a miniature log cabin because he loved, fishing and being on a log cabin. And it just really took away the whole buying and spending and made it much more personal. And then another thing a group of my friends and I have done, we used to always have a gift exchange. We went out every year for lunch at Christmas time and just bought each other all kinds of gifts, and it was just overwhelming. And several years ago, one of the members had a great idea. We adopt a family now instead, a needy family, and each person purchases something for that family that they've requested, and we bring that all together at our luncheon and pack it up and give to the family. And it just adds a lot of meaning, gets away from the materialism, and makes you feel good. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. And Rhonda, what's the most creative gift you've received? I know you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but with your new gift exchange, what have you gotten?
Well, you know, I am an animal lover, and I had two German shepherds that one of my sisters made this wonderful plaque that had a picture of myself and the German shepherds on it, and it was a wooden plaque that she had handmade, and it had a saying about the love of pets and the meaning of pets in our lives, and it was just extremely personal, and I still have it up in my house, and it was just kind of one of those special gifts that was much better than a sweater or something bought at the mall. I've gotten many ones, but that was one that just really sticks out in my mind.
Oh, Rhonda, thank you so much for your call. And that actually, I put up a picture on Facebook, on our Facebook page today, of the most meaningful gift I've ever gotten. And my family has done something very similar to what Rhonda's done. We now draw names. And last Christmas, my sister-in-law gave me a hat that she had made. She's from Russia, and she took my dog's hair to Russia. Her mother spun it into yarn, and she knitted a hat for me. From this hair, and it was so special because I'd actually forgotten that we had saved this hair and sent it with her because it had been quite a while, and my dog died of cancer last summer. So about 6 months after my dog died, she gave me this hat made out of my dog's hair, which is just honestly the best gift I've ever received. She also made one for my daughter, which is very cool. You can see a picture of that on Facebook. And also, if you don't want to call in today, you can share your stories of your most meaningful gifts on our Facebook page as well. Have you heard a lot of stories like that of people trying to cut down on the number of gifts that they share?
Yeah, I would say so. And I've heard some really creative ones. Yours comes to mind, but and the one that I want you to share in just a minute about a gift that you gave. But I would like to read something. One of the other things on our website are stories from people, and we'd love to have people also share them on our website or send them to us in whatever way. We have a link to our Facebook page on the web, but One woman told me about her son and his wife have done a fun gift exchange for each other for years. They pick a number, a color, and an adjective. One year the theme was three, blue, and warm. She made a set of sweetheart mittens for him, a right hand, a left hand, and a two-handed one so that they could hold hands. And she made them out of blue fleece. And I just thought that was so romantic and sweet. So another one like the two that you guys just shared, really personal, some thought put into it.
Absolutely. Well, and when you think about making presents, this is a conversation we've had in our family because my sister-in-law is incredibly talented as far as knitting and doing all kinds of things. And my mom can sew, but the rest of us are not that gifted in making things. And I wanted to make something very special for my dad, but I kept thinking, I can't do anything. I can't knit. I can't really sew. I'm not that good at that kind of stuff. And this is the present you alluded to a few minutes ago. But then it occurred to me, you know, I've written a children's book. I know how to write. So I got a bunch of old family pictures, and I wrote a children's book about me and my dad illustrated with family pictures. And you can go on to many websites, and you can actually get a book printed with your text and the pictures that you send in. And that it was really meaningful for me to put it together, and I know that it meant a lot for him. And I made a copy for myself so I could keep it at my house and read it to my kids. And that was I know it meant a lot to him. I don't know if it's the best gift he's ever received, but it was a good one.
Oh, Charity, can I just read the first two pages?
If you must.
She's got this beautiful picture of her dad and apparently her two siblings and her on the front cover. And the title is My Dad by Charity Nebbe. And I can see why he immediately started crying when he read this, because the first sentences are, "My dad is strong. My dad is so strong, he can throw me way up into the air over and over again. He can carry me for miles." Anyway, I haven't read the whole book, but I just think, oh, my mother would love something like this.
So maybe something you can work on for this holiday season. Julie has a story about her family's traditions from Des Moines. Hello, Julie.
Hi there. Well, now you've got me kind of teared up about that book. Hold on. Let me get a tissue. That's very sweet. You talked earlier about anticipation and anticipating the holidays, and you also talked about experiential gifts, and we've kind of tried to combine those two because we like to do a lot of experiential things for our gifts, plays at local theaters. But the one thing we've really changed is, instead of going shopping the day after Thanksgiving, which doesn't suit any of us, we go ice skating. Downtown Des Moines, there's an outdoor skating rink, and we bring my kids and my mom, and now we start bringing some of my kids' friends, and it has become such a wonderful tradition because it's outdoors. We feel refreshed and energized. We've done it in the snow. We've done it when it's actually a little bit warmer than it needs to be. But what it does is it just completely takes the focus off of that, the mad shopping. And, you know, before that time, we've also kind of not really shown our kids any of those catalogs that come in the Sunday paper or in the mail so that they look on that. Rather, they've really started to enjoy looking forward to the ice skating and then the play that we go to the next weekend and then sledding. You know, it's just completely changed our outlook on the entire holiday.
Julie, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a wonderful suggestion.
Thank you.
The number to call if you'd like to share some of your family traditions or changes you've made to make your holidays more meaningful is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And those were some great suggestions for some experiences you can share with your family. You mentioned experiential gifts a little while ago. What are some of the ideas that you've heard about experiences that you can give to people?
I walk with a friend of mine often every week, and she'll talk in the summer about all of the camps that her kids go to. And it just made me think, oh, what a great thing to give a gift of going to a camp. And you don't, if you can't buy the camp, the summer camp, maybe in December, you can give the coupon. We have coupons that you can print out on the website, reclaimyourholidays.org. Doing something like that, you talked about not having any skills, but you did figure out that you can write. All of us have skills, whether they're carpentry or cleaning somebody's house. You can give a gift of a skill to somebody. One of the great ideas I saw on the web, at least I thought it was good, and we have a link to it, is creating unbaked, made-from-scratch cookie kits. So it's just another little skill that, you know, you put together a kit and people can make cookies at home with your little kit that you've given them. I think giving a present of lessons, piano lessons, for a month or anything like that. My same friend that I was talking about earlier, her mom thinks that kids need to learn foreign languages, and so giving the grandkids or kids gifts of lessons to learn a foreign language. Of course, you want to talk to the parents first about that, because that'll obligate the kids and the parents' time to taking them to lessons.
It may take a little more, more talking, which could be a good thing.
Communicating,
hopefully less time spent out shopping. But one of the great things about the holidays and the fact that we spend so much money is that it does have an impact on our communities. We spend a lot of money in our communities, and that's great for the economy. And Carol, I know that you've done some looking into local foods and other kinds of local gifts that you can buy. What have you discovered?
One of the best places to look for the local gifts and local food are, of course, at the farmers markets, and those are just all across Iowa. The Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign has made that kind of information readily available. And even at this time of year, there are what they call extended farmers markets. Most of them quit at the end of October, I think. But in some parts of the state, the farmers markets continue. Dubuque has a year-round farmers market. But in Des Moines, Cedar Falls, and Iowa City, there are these extended farmers markets through a couple of times in November, a couple of times in December. And there's food that can be purchased as gifts. There's still jams and jellies that people can buy, many other kinds of Iowa-made products, soaps and candles, all kinds of things that might make good gifts for people who don't necessarily want something more. An edible gift is a wonderful kind of thing.
Right. It doesn't sit around forever and take up space.
Right.
Do you have some favorites that you've seen as you've looked into local gifts?
Well, I do have to admit I like the food ones. you know, the jams and the jellies are great, but there are also local gifts. If you think about Iowa, there's a number of Iowa magazines, and some have to do with gardening and food. Some have to do with just knowing more about our state, and any of those magazines might make a subscription to that might make a nice kind of gift for someone.
And again, that certainly cuts down on the actual in-person shopping that you need to do. When we talk about making gifts, I can see how that can get really out of hand too, though. You know, if you're trying to make an unbaked cookie kit for every person on your list, you could create a lot of stress for yourself. So is there a happy medium that you can find here, Susan?
Well, I would say to prioritize who you give gifts to, first of all, and do the exchange like we talked about. So those would be my suggestions for that. But on the other hand, I wanted to read another story as we heard these conversations. This is one from Sarah Jewell, who is from here in Iowa City. And she says, I never really enjoyed shopping, especially during the holiday season when the mall is packed with frenzied shoppers moving like a herd of cattle through the mall corridors with a buying mission that many times seems to override the real reasons for gift giving. I have found that shopping from local, privately owned shops feels better, like I'm supporting my community, and I don't waste as much time driving around to find a parking spot. My purchases also tend to be more unique from these smaller shops rather than from the big chain stores. The feeling I get from shopping downtown is much more calm and joyous. I love going outside into the winter air between stores, smelling the aromas from coffee shops and restaurants, and hearing folk and holiday music from minstrels sharing their musical gifts with the holiday shoppers. And that story reminds me of the woman who just called in who talked about going ice skating instead of shopping. And, oh, the feel of the winter air is rejuvenating and a way of giving taking care of yourself. And so I think that that's what she's doing because she feels like some of the other alternatives to shopping are just a lot of work and a lot of stress.
And you mentioned rejuvenating. Those are things that maybe take the life out of you in some ways.
Right.
Although for some people, I have to say going to the mall is a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And some people really thrive on that.
One of the questions that I would ask any of the listeners is what parts of your holiday routine deplete rather than restore? And so we can see what Sarah had said about depleting versus restoring, and going downtown and feeling the fresh air was restorative. So I would be interested in what some of the listeners have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about food traditions, too. And Andrew from East Moline has a food tradition in his family. Oops, I think he just left us just when I was ready to go to him. Sorry about that, Andrew. You can give us a call back if you like. But one of the things that he mentioned, and I think you mentioned it earlier as well, is doing away with some of these big family meals. Now, of course, a lot of people love that tradition, love to prepare the food, and we'd love to hear about your favorite food traditions as well. But he mentioned that in his family, they don't have a big Thanksgiving feast. They have a meal together, somebody brings some beer, and they have a good time. In my family, we have a potluck every Thanksgiving, so we all have to make something and bring it to the table, and we've had the most bizarre combination of foods. But do you have some stories that you've heard from other people about making their food traditions easier to cope with it and still meaningful?
I don't think we've heard a whole lot of them. I certainly have the one that I shared with you. I have heard from one woman who said, what depletes? Getting up at 5:30 in the morning, cooking all morning, having the meal over in 15 minutes, that's depleting. And so she's hoping to change that. And she recognized that that was something that she wasn't communicating enough with her family.
Well, we'll talk more about other ways you can reclaim your holidays in a moment. We'd love to hear your stories as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guests are Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates from the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa.
I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus?
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we are talking about reclaiming your holidays, some of the ways that we can slow down, step back, and make our holidays more meaningful for ourselves and for our families. We've talked about some alternative gift-giving ideas, and we just started talking a little bit about some food traditions and other traditions that your family shares. We'd love to hear your stories at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me right now are Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates, are with the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. And they're both working on this project, Reclaim Your Holidays. You can find a link to their website on our Facebook page and also on our Twitter account at IPR Talk. And, of course, you can also search for Reclaim Your Holidays and find it that way as well. And we have number of people who have great suggestions on the line today. Elizabeth in Iowa City has an idea for gift giving. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi, what's your suggestion?
Well, I'm a librarian, and so I'm always looking for ways to encourage people to use the library more. And there's a number of ways you can use the library as a gift giving place. First, you could donate to the library, or you could, you know, give a book with someone's name in it. Another thing that I really think is nice in my family is we give each other library books as gifts. And this is, it's green because you just return the book after you're done with it. And, you know, you can take the kids in and all of the kids can choose books that they think their parents will like and pass out their own gifts. And so
that's
something I've started doing. And
I
really think it works well in my family.
Oh, that's a great idea. Do you have a concern about overdue fines, though?
One nice thing I do is I put a bookmark in it with the overdue or the due dates, and then I put the reason I got this book for the person. Another thing that is good to think about is in Iowa, if your family is dispersed across the state, the libraries actually have a program. If you return a book to a different place than it was checked out, they do mail it back for you. You might want to consider making a donation to the library that's going to be doing the mailing if this is a if this is going to be something that they're going to be doing a lot of for your family, because they do, you know, they pay the
postage.
Transport,
yeah,
the postage back, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a great suggestion, Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Larry is also on the line from Iowa City. Hello, Larry.
Hi. I have a couple of things I wanted to say. One is I really felt, a little concerned when the person suggested going to Backbone State Park for Thanksgiving, because I thought it was my secret.
You're afraid now you won't be able to get a cabin.
Yeah, that's right. But I want people around the state to know that there are several other state parks that also have winterized cabins. So,
and go there instead of
me. Don't go to Backbone. But my family mostly lives in Wisconsin, and I have five brothers and sisters, and so we share the Thanksgiving responsibility. And when we have to come to Iowa, we always go to Backbone State Park. And my nieces and nephews, we've actually said to them, well, you know, we could come to our house if you wanted. And they said, no, they love Backbone, so it's really quite wonderful. But the other thing we do is we have three daughters. One lives in France, who's a little difficult to send presents for the grandchildren. But we have two who live in Portland, Oregon, and what we like to do is give them annual passes to the zoo and to the OMSI, this museum where the kids can go and play. And the nice thing about giving them a family pass is when we go to visit them, we can use it. So take the kids there.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Yeah. That's terrific, Larry. And maybe you and Susan will see each other at Thanksgiving. right. Thanks a lot, Larry.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Well, I want to talk about waste, too. We'll get to the other calls in a couple of minutes, but I know that cutting down on holiday waste is another thing that you focused on in the project. You talked about not only all those unwanted presents underneath the tree or presents that maybe don't mean so much, but also there's a lot of wrapping paper in a lot of households that can't go into the recycling bin that ends up in the landfill. What have you discovered about waste?
Well, I'm going to repeat the unwanted gift thing, because the best green thing you can do for the holiday is to be deliberate and thoughtful about the gifts you give, because if it's a gift that people won't use, it's got a what we call in the environmental field a lot of embodied energy in it. For every pound of a product that we use, about 70 pounds is used to create this product and get it to us. So it's really important to buy gifts that will be of value to people. And that's why the experiential gifts are so nice as an alternative. But as far as wrapping paper, when we had the focus group, we heard several people talk about how beautiful in this case, they celebrated Christmas and they had made bags, sewn bags. And so I went home and I made a bunch of bags, and I've gotten some material at a garage sale to make some more of all different sizes. And then those become part of the gift, to give a fabric bag with the gift in it. Of course, people also use paper, the purchased bags, the gift bags that can be reused for many years. People sometimes use cartoons or children's artwork for wrapping gifts. Some people don't even wrap gifts, which I wouldn't like. But those are some of the ideas.
Carol, what have you run into along those lines? Have you run into some ideas to cut down on waste?
The one thing that I can think about is something we're going to try at the university in a couple of weeks when we have an open house is composting scraps from a meal. Not everybody composts, but many people do. And while that doesn't necessarily cut down on waste, it does make good use of the food waste. So we're going to try that. And the wrapping thing, I'm one of those people who doesn't like to wrap things, so often I don't. And that seems to be something that can be accepted after a while.
So do you have, Carol, do you have some sort of, I don't know, routine that you go through when you present a present that's not wrapped?
Oh, just things go directly to the person and let them know why you did buy the gift for them. And I think that other people have mentioned that. You know, one thing, Charity, that I hear people talking about is that we heard in the focus groups, and it's, I guess in a way it is about waste because it's about thinking about the gift that you give, but We hope our project gives people permission to make changes and to know that they're not alone in wanting to do something different with holidays. And also, there's the concern about what happens for giving gifts to adult children when they grow up. It's wonderful to have kids during a holiday. And then kids grow up, and sometimes parents want to continue the same traditions. So that's another place where people can talk about expectations and what they would like to have happen, and conversations about the environment, about waste, and other things can come into play there as children get older.
Well, and Susan, at the focus group that I was at, one of the other people who was in the focus group talked about how her parents would always give her and her husband presents, and it just got to be too much. And so she asked her parents to, instead of giving her presents, to make a contribution into her kids' college fund. And that's what she gets every year, which she considers to be a wonderful gift. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly an idea that cuts down on unwanted presents. Suzanne in Grinnell also has a comment about gift giving. Hello, Suzanne.
Oh, hi. Yeah, we only give gifts to people under 18, but I was listening to what you were just saying. One year I did give, it was a flower in each person's stocking with a poem that matched that flower that matched them. So I just copied off a poem. And so, I mean, a flower, you know, it's pretty low impact in a way in the world. But I wanted to say also that I think we lose sometimes as adults a way of expressing the holidays, because we think carving pumpkins or decorating Easter eggs or these things are only for kids, and so we stop doing them after the kids have left. And I think that doesn't have to be the case. I think adults can indulge in that, and I think it's fun to I really, that expectation thing, I think, is a really big one. And I just wanted to put out two things. That our family does charades and shadow plays. And those are completely, well, I mean, you have to light a light to have a a shadow play, but they're completely low impact, and they're things that engage everybody. And so it becomes an event instead of just the gift giving. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. I have to ask you a question before you go, though. Are 19-year-olds a little bit disappointed when they suddenly cross that magical barrier?
I have to say, we did stretch it to 19. Because my niece just turned 19. My husband and I gave her mixing bowls for her dorm room a mixer so that she could make cookies, and they were shaped like what do you call it? Ladybugs.
Oh,
so
cute.
They're playful.
All right, Suzanne, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
You know, in our family, that was one of the things that we found just got crazy about the holidays, is as we all grew up and we all had jobs and careers, if we needed something, we would just buy it for ourselves. And it got to the point, you know, my brother, the doctor, I couldn't think of anything that he could possibly want that he didn't already have. And so I think that that's a hurdle for a lot of people, because then you end up buying them something that is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have Jim on the line from Spencer. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Of course, I always encourage people to look around and see what's being produced by the local artists. You know, you can buy things that are made right here in Iowa if you have to. But one of the things that I encourage people to do when I see that they're losing things, like they're selling the barn or it's being torn down or they're losing a tree, is that those materials be turned into new objects, like, you know, barn board frames or bowls, turnings from tree trunks and things are always good. And I encourage people to do something. I've been writing short stories that I have remembered events in my family, so then I can present those to those people that were involved and say, here's a story that you were in, and you can always have my version of what happened.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Jim, thank you very much.
866-780-9100
is the number to call if you have something to share with us today. Deborah is on the line from Iowa City. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
Hi. What's your idea?
Well, I invited a friend of mine in Virginia. We've known each other for some 40 years. I said, come and join, come and be in Deb's Christmas festival. and I sent her a computer file of something from Advent to Epiphany. So every day, it might be a recipe, it might be a hymn lyric or a carol or a knitting pattern, but it had to be a computer file, and I didn't miss a day.
Wow. Oh, that's fun.
It was absolutely, it was a blast, and I was going through something really kind of hard, and it just took my mind off of, you know, whatever I was going through. It was just absolutely fun.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about finances, too, because I know that taking control of your finances has been another one of the things that you focused on and have been focusing on in Reclaim Your Holidays. And Susan, what can you recommend for people who maybe aren't ready to cut way back, but are ready to cut back on the spending that they do during the holidays?
Oh, pay as you buy, number one rule. Because it costs so much more. It can double the expense of an item if you put it on a credit card and just pay off the minimum amount every month. But asking children which they want instead of what do they want, and help them discern between all the available stuff out there, and help them become more responsible and decision makers. I think this maybe isn't so much a Christmas or winter holiday task or tip, but asking kids to evaluate commercials or evaluating commercials with them and comparing something that they may see on a commercial with the real thing. Because oftentimes commercials make things look a lot better than they really are. And again, that anticipation is more exciting than the actual gift sometimes. Something that I really like that I read as an idea was to invite grandparents to a storytelling party. And a lot of the ideas that we've talked about today have been really frugal ways of dealing with the holidays, and they've been wonderful ideas. My heart is warmer than when I walked in here this morning. But the inviting grandparents to a storytelling party, and it doesn't have to be grandparents. It could be your neighbors. Asking them to share what happened at their holidays when they were kids, what funny things happened to them all year long that they could share and create some stories for your family.
All right, Susan. So Carol and Susan, we have just a minute left, and I want to ask each of you, after you've gone through this whole experience, what are you going to try out this year that you haven't done before? And Carol, let's start with you.
I think we might try some of the compostable dinnerware. We found out from UNI Dining Services that this can be found online, and I think we might try some of that.
All right. So adding your dinnerware to the compost pile, and that certainly cuts down on the mm-hmm. time you spend cleaning up after dinner as well. How about you, Susan?
Oh, our family has decided, and this was directly related to this project, to do a tribute to my mother. She can't now listen to this podcast because she's 87 years old, and I've Facebooked all of my nieces and nephews and had really positive response. They're game to have a meal, having some of her favorite foods, and then each of us bring whatever. Maybe I'll bring a book, but something that gives a tribute to Mom, and she'll get all of that attention for a couple of hours that first night of our holiday.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Susan, thank you so much. Carol, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Charity.
Susan Salterberg and Carol Yates are with the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. You can find out all about their project, Reclaim Your Holidays, you can find a link on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio, and on our Twitter account, @IPRTalk. You can also search for Reclaim Your Holidays. You can find them on Facebook and them online with a lot of these suggestions as well. And thank you so much for sharing your stories today. That was a lot of fun. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. Technical support from Phil Moss in Cedar Falls today. And you can always send your stories and comments to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.